and welcome to 1010 Would Recommend. It's me, your girl Tolly, and my bestie
Gina. Hi everyone. Hi T, how are you today?
Hello. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm also good. Excited to talk about the film today because I feel like it's different from what we're used to. Very different.
It's very different. And that's what I was saying to you about doing the podcast. Obviously, I love it. I love working with you. I love telly. And I think another great part of it is that, like, I watch shows I won't normally watch because it's so out of my world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So it's actually quite nice to watch a show that on a normal day, I probably wouldn't.
Yeah, I'm really excited. So this week, we are speaking to the wonderful Alex Aja. And if you don't know who it is, it's the director of the newest film on Netflix, Oxygen.
No illness or abnormality detected.
You mean I'm healthy? Unlock the door right now.
I cannot comply with that request at this moment.
My line begging you open the pod.
I cannot comply with that request. Interruption. Oxygen level approaching critical threshold.
In general, we can talk about non-English language content on Netflix because there's a ton. And I feel like English speaking people of UK, you know, somewhat America, there is a stereotype, but also it holds a lot of truth that they don't like to watch anything that's not in their native language. And there are so many people across the globe who have to use subtitles and watch things that are in English when it's not their first language. What do you think about this, Talani?
I think that's very true because the English are the exact same people who would go on holiday, not learn the language and be offended that nobody there understands English. And I have done that. I've gone to a country, not even learning the basics in terms of hello or goodbye or can I have, and just being like, everywhere speaks English, right? And how ignorant of me. So of course that happens in film as well. If we do that in a real life, of course we watch films thinking, yeah, it should be subtitled. But then I say that being, I reckon it's because we like to watch and do other things at the same time. So when I was watching this, I was like, oh, I can't be on my phone because I actually need to read the subtitles. And that's weird. It changes your viewing experience.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Like, one of my favorite shows ever since I started watching Netflix is Narcos.
Okay.
You know, the one by Pablo Escobar. Blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm, I sure
do. And I loved it so much. But it is such a change of pace because you literally can't look away. You have to be concentrating on it. You have to make sure that you haven't missed a line because you have to be reading at the same time. And I actually love it. And I think that a lot of our non-English language stuff on Netflix is so high quality that a lot of people are missing out by the barrier of thinking that it's going to be a lot of effort because you have to watch the subtitles. But yeah, it is that. So you can't wash up at the same time or like iron or whatever. But it's worth it if it's a good show, you know?
Do you know what I do bang out, talking about non-English speaking? Nollywood films, and a lot of it is speaking Yoruba. And
you can speak Yoruba, no?
So I can
you
speak can Yoruba still... and I understand Yoruba, yeah, so I don't have to read subtitles.
Okay, bilingual.
Because, you know, I'm bilingual. She's bilingual.
She's bilingual.
Girl. I am bilingual. Some say biracial. And I would say Nollywood and Netflix is sensational. Like, honestly, they have such good films on them and good series. There's one, Castle, which actually does speak English. A lot of Nigerians do speak English. But what's funny is that every so often they'll say something in Yoruba where even though it's subtitled, it just slaps more in Yoruba.
Yes. This is the thing, isn't it? Yeah, I do. This is the thing about the translating. Because it's like, if you're the native speaker, you know when you see the subtitles, you're like,
it's not right.
You're
is
like,
it? Yeah.
I know, yes, yeah, I know this ain't it. And sometimes when I'm watching stuff like Money Heist, for example, on Netflix is phenomenal. Everybody should watch it. But because of my basic Spanish stuff, I'm like, I wish I could understand Spanish like 100% so I could know how well that swear word was or like how good that line was, like how piercing it was, because it's just not the same with the translation sometimes.
Absolutely. Because sometimes literal translations, it's not actually what it means. Although it's
exactly
what it means, it's the literal translation, but that's not what it means. Like,
exactly.
The people who know, know. But I'm going to get into it more. You've been telling me for ages, well, you and your mum, about Korean.
Yes!
About Korean shows on Netflix. So I'm going to get into it. Your mum loves it. I feel like I will like it.
I think you will. It's a lot of rom-coms. It's a lot of, and it's very much a bit of you. But My mum's Netflix is like, you would never be able to guess that it belonged to a middle-aged Jamaican British woman when you look at her Netflix, because she only watches K-dramas. That's the only thing that she watches.
We should do that with our guests. We should get them to send us screenshots of their, like, Netflix homepage and just guess. And actually, listeners, tweet us screenshots of your Netflix homepage and we'll tell you what it says about you. Use the hashtag 10 would recommend. Yeah.
So Alex is a French film director, best known for horror films such as The Hills Have Eyes, Maniac, which had Elijah Wood in it, if you remember, Piranha 3D, Horns, which starred Daniel Radcliffe, and Crawl. And a fun fact about Alex, Aja isn't actually his last name. It's actually made up of his initials. I would love to hear a bit more about that and why you chose that as your stage name, but we'll go into that. Alex, how are you?
I'm good.
I love that you change your last name. It's such a superstar celebrity thing to do. I love that.
I had to. And when you hear why, you know, like I didn't really have a choice.
Why? Okay, tell us. Can you tell us?
Yeah, of course. No. I just that my dad has the same first name and he's a filmmaker as well. And so it was all I changed my first name or I changed my name. So I went with the name.
What was that like growing up with a dad that's doing exactly what you're doing now?
Yeah, of course. It was such a great, luck and chance and privilege. I grew up on set. I grew up like seeing him writing script and producing movies and directing movies. I learned so much. I mean, he was like altogether my, a big part of my film school.
And your mum was a critic as well, right? So you kind of been in it.
Yeah, yes. I was swimming in movies. I didn't really want to do that. I just wanted to write. And then, you know, like you realize it's maybe the best job in the world. So, I mean, at least something where you never, never feel that you're walking.
Yeah. Imagine if you did hate it. You're like, actually, I don't want to. That wouldn't have gone down well. You chose the right path.
You're lucky you have that, because I feel like people still do jobs that they love, but it still feels like work. So what was it like creating Oxygen? Did it not feel like work? Because I assume it's like, it's very lockdown friendly. I mean, the idea of her being trapped is kind of how I felt outside of, I mean, I could go outside-ish, but it is that vibe sort of thing. So during making it, during the season, how was that making it and making such a film that is about being trapped?
But that was exactly what, you know, got me in. I read the script before the pandemic, like, you know, when I was finishing Crawl, my last movie, which was also about someone being trapped somewhere in a different way with alligators. But I read the script and, you know, I kind of didn't know anything about it. And I followed this, you know, woman waking up in that cryo unit and, you know, not knowing who she is, not remembering anything and trying to figure out who did that to her, if you know, like if she's buried somewhere or like still in the hospital. And then I was not expecting where the script will take me. So I really need, as a filmmaker, to fall in love with the subject, with the script. You know, it's so hard to make a movie in general that if you don't have that kind of, oh, I remember why I'm here and why it's so hard and why I'm doing this. So I really, you know, fell in love. But then I was committed to another project. So I went to start this one and I was maybe going to only produce Oxygen. And then the COVID happened and my movie stopped. I went back to Paris. I was in lockdown for months. And then the script, which is such, as you said, like a mirror of what we're going through. You know, in the theme is like so close to the drama, the tragedy that we're going through, the feeling of being oppressed, the feeling of being running out of air, became like more and more hunting for me and became like a necessity as a filmmaker. I absolutely, absolutely needed to direct it. So, you know, kind of went very fast. We sent the script to Netflix and they say, yeah, let's do it right away. And I was like, as soon as the lockdown stopped in France in May, a year ago, we started prepping the movie. And I was one of the first movie to go back to production during the COVID. So it was really hard to find the right protocol to be sure that everyone is safe. We all knew that it could stop at any point. So we were very, very careful to protect, you know, each other on set. And then, you know, it's that crazy challenge of making a movie that's stabbed inside a box and most of it stay in that box with Melanie Laurent. And that was an interesting adventure.
Okay, so I'm setting the scene. This might sound familiar to you, Alex. You wake up in a box. What are you? Because the whole time I was watching, I was like, if I was her, I would have just laid there and died. I don't think I would have tried to get out. I think I would have just been like, well, I guess it's done then. I guess that's it. I would have just watched it go down and just die. What are you guys like? What are you doing? Are you trying to get out?
I think I will take the sedative right away.
Okay.
I will just get high and kind of go away in a very peaceful way. No, I don't know. I mean, this is why I think I'm making all those survival movies, because I always ask myself the question, what I will do, you know, like in that kind of extreme situation. I don't know if I will find the courage, the strength to fight to the end. And that's what I'm really the most fascinated about, is that kind of that side of being a human being, you know, to be able to, even in the darkest place, to keep fighting to go back to the surface.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. That's one of the things that I found most fascinating about this film. I haven't seen a film like ages ago. I can't even remember the name of what this other film was. Ages ago, there was a film where a man, I think, wakes up in a coffin, like he's been buried alive, and he wakes up in a coffin and he only has a phone. And it had that parallel, because I never got that on my mind because it was my worst nightmare. And similarly, I was like, oh my God, what the hell? And all of the things that happened during the course of Oxygen, I think, how, you know, it's amazing how you suddenly are like the best problem solver in the world. You know, you've got all of these ideas that come into you and you imagine that you'd be really stressed. But I actually think that all of us would probably be like, well, I mean, unless you take the sedative and get high, which is a fair choice. It's not a bad plan.
Do you know what? It depends where, if in real life I was having a bad time, let's say I was like, you know, I've lost my job, things were going bad, I'd be like, oh, you know what? It's fine. I can go. But if I was enjoying my real life, I'll try to fight it. That's it.
That's fair.
Yeah. Okay, fair.
Alex, you spoke a little bit about being trapped and the sort of claustrophobic nature of the film. I wanted to ask a little bit about the set and the fact that the majority of it does take place in this tiny little, what is it, a set, like cryogenic unit?
Yeah, like a pod.
Yes. How many pods did you have to make? Is it just one solitary pod? How much work went into the pod? I'm fascinated by it.
We built two of them just because we it was so complicated to, you know, for the camera movement and all the directing. So we needed to have like one ready when we were, you know, like using the other one. And it was kind of like a big 3D puzzle where we could remove each element. But I really wanted for Melanie to be interacting with all the screen, and everything was on set. So I didn't want any post-production for that. So it was a pretty challenging, small set to build. But in the same time, it's almost like the fantasy of each filmmaker to make a movie where you can control each little detail, because we're going to see all those details. Like, basically, it's a movie about being very tight and close and having all those inserts. So, yeah, no, we had only two of them. And in the beginning, it was quite long to just open them and change the configuration. But then, you know, after a few days, it was like Formula One speed.
So you're known for your horror films. You like this idea. Why? Like, why are you doing this to us? Like, why do you love that genre so much? Why are you so interested by it?
I think I'm doing it to me first.
why are you doing this to yourself, Alex?
Yeah, I kind of like really like to be scared. I mean, I don't like it. I just cannot help myself to think about what the worst can happen, and like, what is the worst thing that can happen to you? And usually that's kind of what attracts me in stories. It's like a way to maybe exercise my fear, and to be locked down, to lose my memory, to have to find my way out, to fight alligators and save my dad and things like that. It's like things that just came to me as I was like and became like an obvious like way of making movies. Like it's all about exploring the fear. And then, I mean, I will not be honest if I didn't admit that there is something kind of playful also. When you do a movie, you like to be hiding behind the door and wait for someone to come and just boo that person. So there is that definitely that element as well.
Because Oxygen is more sci-fi. Do you think those two genres can mix together? Do you think where's the world where, actually, I think there is, where technology can scare the shit out of us?
I think it's just as scary, personally. I think it's petrifying. Like, Black Mirror is so scary to me.
Black Mirror is, like, the most scary. I mean, because it's so real, you know, like the
yeah.
I think sci-fi at its best is when sci-fi or any genre, in fact, of like horror and fear are kind of having a strong subtext about who we are and what is our, like, you know, what are we supposed to do in this world and the relationship to each other. I mean, Black Mirror is definitely the best example of, you know, sci-fi when sci-fi thinks about all the danger of technology and I think Oxygen, you know, kind of is in that same vein or that same world of, you know, what is the worst that can happen?
And that's the thing. I think that can happen. I think we can be in the world where that can happen to us. I genuinely believe.
Well, as in what happens in Oxygen?
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. Me too. Mm.
Yeah, like my poor grandbabies, because I won't be here. Like by the time that...
See you later.
It's kind of sad because you just like you think about this, but it becomes more and more real. You know, like I remember growing up and reading all those dystopian sci-fi books and watching those movies, and you know, like thinking, oh, this is just fiction. You know, that might be happening in the future, but now it's kind of like sometimes you really feel that you're walking on the edge of the apocalypse, and that can really be something real. Sooner than you expected.
So speaking, I guess, a bit wider about to us foreign language films, there's that iconic quote from the guy who directed Parasite about, you know, having to get over the 1-inch barrier of subtitles, and then you'll be introduced to so many more amazing films. But I just would love to get your response to this. Like, do you find that people in English-speaking countries or where English is their first language are slightly lazy when it comes to consuming foreign language content? And why do you think it puts people off, quote unquote?
But it's changing. It's changing so much. I mean, it was the case. And I, you know, like even for a very long time, a lot of our filmmaker, like myself, we did our first, you know, breakthrough or movie in our own language. And then we're invited to, you know, come to the US and work in English, and English being the universal language, it was also the best way to reach, you know, the world. Like a movie in English can be released everywhere in the world. And that was the rule for a very long time. But I think Netflix and other platforms change everything in a way that somehow for the first time you see, you know, French, Spanish, I mean, that movie, The Platform, that was like, you know, like a Spanish horror movie, you know, got like such a huge success all around the world. So, you know, it changed the rule of English being the universal language. But a movie like Oxygen, you know, could happen in Europe, could happen in France, could, you know, there is something, we have the same technology, we have the same problem. There were no reason for that to be another American story.
So you've worked with Radcliffe, you've worked with Wood. Is there anybody else on your list, a bucket list of stars that you think you'd love to get them maybe in a trapped pod somewhere, maybe not a pod, but you know, in your future films?
Yeah, like other people that I would love to torture. I don't know.
No, the long list comes out scrolling.
Yes. No. I mean, I always look for those, you know, actresses or actors who have this very human quality. You know, like this, because at the end of the day, it's not really about, you know, like the monster that you're trying to escape, the radioactive mutant in the hills, or the piranha, or you know, like an AI or whatever. At the end of the day, you need to be scared for the person that you're following. You need to believe in that yeah. character.
I will say, Alex, that Talani and I are available. That's all I'm going to say.
I was going to say the exact same thing. We act.
We are. We act.
We're human.
we can would be very get stuck scared. In a pod for money. So
yeah. you have to think about that twice because you know, no, like right, right. in the story, she's only staying like you know, like a few hours. You know, for real, she spent 5 weeks laying down in that pod and being prisoner. That was pretty hard.
That sounds quite long, to be fair. Okay, kill us in the first 20 minutes. You can kill us in the first 5 minutes of the film.
Yeah, or the opening scene.
In the film. Yeah, so we can be in your film.
Opening scene.
And if you kill us early on, and then it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah,
great.
Deal.
That's a promise.
tell us a little bit about working with Melanie. How did you convince her? I mean, I don't really know how this conversation goes. Like, hey, do you mind staying in this pod and 4 or 5 weeks? Like, how did that go and how was it working with her?
You know, I just sent her the script because she was my first ID, first choice. And what I didn't know that is during that lockdown, she was also kind of like thinking a lot about like the fact that she wanted to go back to project that were more challenging, that she felt that she was almost going too much to the same thing again and again, and she wanted to find something unique, something that will challenge her and bring her back to the beginnings of, you know, when she was starting acting, but also something that was meaningful about the world, you know, around us. So she read the script right away, and she called me the same day, and she was in. But then I told her, I said, like, are you sure? Because it's going to be very, very hard. I've been, you know, like in tough shoot. But this one, you know, especially for her, was something I could not really picture. Like, how do you stay for, you know, like so long? The days where, I mean, all those cable and tube that she has on her, we couldn't remove them every shot, every take. She couldn't get out of the pod and go get a coffee and come back. She had to stay inside all day long.
Me and Gina couldn't do that. What good choice.
Yeah, yeah, you did choose correctly.
Absolutely. You mentioned that originally Oxygen was written in English, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about other non-English speaking films getting remade? Because I think Leonardo DiCaprio announced recently that he wants to remake a film in English. Do you think it's insulting? Do you think it's fine? And how would you feel if Oxygen got remade in English?
Depends on the project. I feel that a remake of Oxygen in English will be, you know, like pretty much it will, you just have to watch it dubbed in English. I mean, I did a few remakes of English movie into English, but I did also one and it was a Korean movie. You know, depends. I always think that when you remake a movie or when you reboot a movie or when you do a new version of a movie, you have to find a way to first deliver what made that first movie great, but also find a way to make it different enough so the two movies can exist side by side and don't cancel each other. I think that the remake of Maniac that we did you know, years ago was also like a not canceling the original one. The original one is still one of the most powerful slasher movies. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's all about how you do it. But it's true, you know, for a long time, going back to the language, it's true that for a long time, a French movie, like a Spanish movie, it was very hard to cross and reach audiences around the world. So the remake was always the option of, oh, that was a great movie in Italy. We're going to do it. And no, everyone is going to be able to see it in English.
I have a small aside question about the film. Not giving anything away, no spoilers, obviously. I just want to know, the end, is that a concrete ending or is it purposely ambiguous? That's all I want to know.
I want to believe it's real, but you know, it's my take.
I also want to believe as well. I think I'm on the side of wanting to believe it. I like that. I was going to spoil something. Oh God, I would have lost my job. I like that. I'm going to stop the sentence there. I like that.
So tell us what is next for you in terms of your projects. Obviously, Oxygen was a slight departure from the classic horror stuff. You've gone sci-fi. Are you going to continue to do sci-fi in the future? Do you want to just go completely left field and cast Talani and I in a comedy? We're up for it. What are you planning to do next?
Yeah, I mean, there is a lot of things that are getting ready. I mean, to be honest, there is a big traffic jam with the COVID. So I don't know which one is going to start first. I do, you know, like, you know, for people that are familiar with the Bandersnatch episode of Black Mirror, you know, like that technology control, we are developing one, like a haunted house for Amblin. And that's something I will love to do as well.
Yeah, that's awesome.
When you were talking about human versus nature, there is a toy behind you in the mirror, and it looks like it's gonna attack you from your reflection.
This is a very gentle and nice creature. It's Alf.
Who is Alf? I'm sorry, we don't know who Alf is.
Alf was the lead character of a weird sitcom, an American sitcom in the 80s, and that's an original Alf from 86. Yeah, that my girlfriend got me for my birthday. He was a very funny character. He's an alien, and he just crashed into a you know, like a middle class American family, and yeah, he has this, you know, wish to at some point eat the cat, but you know.
But he's gentle, right?
Yeah, he's very nice and he's very funny.
Okay.
Something that we always get our guests to do is to give us a Netflix recommendation. We would love to hear what's something that you liked on Netflix, something that you'd recommend to our listeners, anything you've got.
I have to say that the fact to be able to revisit all the Miyazaki library and the Studio Ghibli library is for me like... And I just, you know, the fact that beyond my personal pleasure of watching, you know, like I was watching Princess Mononoke like a couple of days ago, but to just see them, all of them again, but also thinking that there is a, like a whole new generation all around the world that's going to be able to discover them and grow up with them the same way we grew up with the Disney movie. Is quite fantastic because I feel there is something very interesting, very different. You know, like the Disney movies are always very kind of like the bad guys are the bad guys and the good guys are the good guys. It's very like, you know, straightforward. When Miyazaki is always so nuanced, where you're like the villain always tend to be in fact a good person and everything change and twist. I mean, it's so rich and so mature and so sophisticated. So yeah, I mean, you know, like even if you if you think you're too old for cartoon, which you never are, I don't think anyone can be too old for that. It's always great for the imagination to revisit them.
That's a really good
Thank
recommendation.
Thank you so much. Yeah,
Thank that's a you so, question. so much. Wonderful having you on. I mean, if you haven't watched Oxygen, you should watch it. It is out now. Great film by our new best friend, Alex.
And our casting director. Yeah,
wait to read the opening scene where you die. Let's see first.
Friendship terminated with Alex. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
I'm excited
Thank
for your you. Next projects too.
Thanks. Thanks. Bye bye.
Tell me where to start. You have all the answers. Figure out what triggers your memories. Who is this? Why are you doing this? What the hell do you want? Too late. They're here.
Interruption. Oxygen level approaching critical threshold.
Oh, Sweet Mr. Aja. What a lovely person.
I know. He was so nice. He felt very like directory, and like he thought before he spoke, and was like, you can tell that he loves films. Yes. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Everything has a purpose to it, and he speaks slowly. And from now on, that is going to be the vibe I'm going to be giving on 10/10. Would recommend the podcast here for all your viewing pleasures on Netflix. How's that?
That was really great. So that's how you're going to be from now? Just very slow?
Yeah, like just subdued. Just, you know, like people that talk with, that look like they've got intellect behind them. They look like they've got education and experience behind them. I can't just be shouting. I can't.
You do
be shouting.
My whole
brand can't just be me shouting all the time. It's not okay. And here I go again. No,
I like it. I think it makes you you.
Okay, fair.
Sure. You can be shouting, be so intelligent. Isn't that Arthur Parliament? Do you know what I mean? I might need to cut that bit.
But do not compare me to Parliament. That is the last people I want to be anything
okay.
like.
Okay, fair. But all I'm saying is you don't have to speak slowly to be intelligent or appear intelligent. You're
tell me
smart.
He speaks loudly and shouts and appears intelligent to you.
I'll get back to you. I think you've put me on the spot.
I'm going to be more like Alexandre Ajay.
So since we're on the topic of foreign language stuff on Netflix, let's give people a recommendation. Let's push people out of their comfort zone. Let's push me. I know everyone. Most people are watching using subtitles anyway. I put subtitles on stuff that's in English. I just always have it on. So,
do you?
Yeah, I do. Do you not?
No.
Do you know, I used to date somebody who always had subtitles on.
Why did you whisper the date bit? I just want to know.
What is your problem?
Sorry.
And the way you always try and put me on blast on this professional podcast,
I'm sorry,
where we're literally friends. I mean, she's right. I should never have whispered it. I used to date somebody that used to always use subtitles, and I got used to it. And so now it feels weird when I don't have subtitles, and like it feels the words like jumble up, and I'm like, I can't understand this. I need some subtitles to understand what they're saying. But since we're on the topic, what is your non-English language recommendation for everyone today?
Right, okay. I was going to do a Yoruba one. Actually, I will. I mean, but the thing is, it's kind of like they speak Yoruba, but then also they don't. And there's a lot of English in it, but it's in Nigeria. It's based in Nigeria. It's about three Yoruba sisters. And I think their mum speaks just Yoruba. It's called Sugar Rush.
This is not stealing, right?
Stealing?
I dare say that what we're doing right now is activism.
That's it.
You know nothing. Don't know.
Come and show me the surveillance menu.
It says the file is lost.
Hey!
My village people are find me and come up.
It's about these sisters. The sisters or friends who have discovered a large sum of money. And obviously, criminal activity comes into play because nobody just discovers large sums of money. And it's funny. I feel like it's a really... Because normally with Nollywood have the tendency to make everything either a moral learning of why, you know, you should respect your mother, otherwise your life is going to go to shit, or rom-coms. And it's about, you know, a single girl who hasn't been married for ages and it's all about her wedding. Meh. So this is a kind of like, it's quite nice to have like quite like crimey but funny. So I would say Sugar Rush is a nice film to watch. And it's not, yeah, there's some Yoruba in it, there's some titles, but I think it's good. I'd recommend.
That's a good shout. I think, well, I mean, look, I don't want to be basic because anybody who's doing foreign language stuff on Netflix 101 will probably have heard of this or have watched it. But by far, one of my favorite of all time Netflix titles is Money Heist. It's called La Casa de Papel in a lot of other countries, but in English it's called Money Heist. And if you don't know what it's about and you haven't heard of it, it is, you know, I'm not very good at explaining things, guys, so just give me a moment. It's about a group of criminals who get together to plan the crime of the century, which is to rob this bank and to take all of the money out of it. And each of them changes their name, but they change their name to a city from different countries around the world. So there's somebody called Berlin. There's somebody called Tokyo. And they all refer to each other as those names. And so it's those people in this bank and what happens when they try and rob it and try and get out alive with all of this money.
My name is Tokyo. But when this story began, that wasn't my name.
Don't move, or I'll blow you in half!
How would stealing about 2.4 billion euros sound?
Mom, I'm thinking about going on a trip. No one has ever hit that hard. Not even in New York, London, or Monte Carlo.
It's like a super league for criminals, of criminals.
Yeah, kind of, but that makes it sound... Actually, you know what? Yes, because it's led by this character called the Professor, and he's like extra smart, and has thought of every single detail. And just when you think that they're going to get caught, he does this and he does that, and it's very like, I honestly think you'd really like it. It's got so many twists and turns. It's amazing. I really like it.
I'm going to give it a watch. I'm really sad that you didn't spot my football analogy there with the Super League. You know, it's fine. It's cool.
You thought I knew about football?
Yeah, I mean, nor do I, but shit.
Exactly. Who do you think you're talking to?
I just thought it was quite a smart thing to say. Do you know what I mean? I thought you'd understand it, but clearly it went over your head. I mean, to be fair, we kind of can't talk about foreign films and shows without giving a shout out to shows like Lupin. Which is coming back for season 2, and Call My Agent, which is also coming back. So I think those are like Netflix staples now. That are foreign speaking languages or non-English speaking films that are worth a watch. And I really like saying Lupin.
Lupin, me too. It's really
Lupin.
Fun.
But yeah, that is it. Can you say goodbye in French?
Au revoir.
Au revoir, madame,
bientôt.
Monsieur. A bientôt means...
See you soon or something? Until next
time. It sounds Spanish. You know what? I'm just going to say goodbye in Yoruba. Au double.
Okay. And I'll say au revoir, everyone. I hope Alex would be proud of that. Before you go, a reminder of where you can find us and where you can find Netflix. You can find Netflix UK at Netflix UK on Instagram, Twitter, and Netflix UK on YouTube. But T, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter under the name and the new attitude of a more mysterious lady, Tolly_T.
You can find me at SmileGina, that's G-E-N-A, at Instagram, Twitter and TikTok. Don't forget to tweet us A, any of the foreign language stuff you've been watching on Netflix, B, your Netflix homepage so that we can rate it and also judge you. Next week we'll be talking about Army of the Dead. Brace yourself, because that film and this chat will be, and it's going to be, insane. See you next time.
Bye.